I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you. Yes, Lord. That she's lovely, baby. How do you want to see him? See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. You love him? Lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, amen and amen. I want to see you. Amen and amen and amen. I want to see him, don't you? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Glad to have some back that's been away from us. And good to see everybody. Just remember now, the Lord willing, we forgot to announce it last week, but this coming Saturday will be Bible study, 6 o'clock. So, you know, we're still on the officers of the church, and then we only like a couple, so we will be taking probably just regular questions and answers. So, you know, come and be with us. We have a good time in the Lord, always do. Amen. And remember now, Wade will be preaching tonight at Wichita, so keep him in your prayers. They'll be getting started in another 30 minutes or so, about an hour behind us. And then on Sunday, he will be preaching, the Lord willing, for Brother Claude Weisinger there in Oklahoma. So remember this, and then they'll be traveling back on Monday. So remember these announcements and everything. Is any other announcements? I always forget something. Oh, tomorrow night I'll be down with Brother Eugene Collins. Anybody wants to travel along, I'll be preaching for him tomorrow night, Lord willing, down in Lincolnton. So if you want to go along, let us know. Amen. Anything else? I generally forget something. Amen. So let's just pray, and we'll read our scripture. Revelations 1:1-3, and let's just pray. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we ask you to just do one thing, and that's be the preeminent one among us tonight, and just come here, Lord, and not be an onlooker, but be an upper taker for all of us, Lord, that you'd open our understanding of our eyes as we always sing unto you to do unto us, Lord. So just have your way and bless and guide each one. Remember Wade there preaching in Wichita tonight as he's preparing, and we pray that you would, Lord, bless them and be with each one, and then over the weekend be with him there with Brother Claude and them. And Father, just have your way, give them a safe journey home. Thank you for bringing some back to us, Lord, on vacations and things, and we pray that you would just bless. We love you and we thank you for all things. As we read your word, you come and minister unto us from that word that we hear, and we read in your word that you said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction, so then we can depend upon the word. And Father, we love you and we thank you, and forgive our sins, mainly because that's where we want to stand complete in you and have nothing between my soul and my Savior, as the song goes, and let everything be right. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1:1-3. Is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by a record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You remember years ago I preached on that. I believe the time is at hand to understand. This is the day and the hour to understand. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we said we're going to try to get over to and mainly see what I'm doing. If you'll catch it and watch it, you'll see that we've already done what I'm going to do when I get over in Revelation 5. So then if you'll watch what's this is not just play purties messages, you know. This is getting ready to be able to understand Revelation 5 and what I want to see for this day and the hour. And if you'll listen and check what's being said now, you'll see then what the truth of it really comes out to be. All right? Now, I'll just give you that in advance where you can do it. All right? We've talking about there this past Sunday on this book of Revelations and how that it was a revelation that God gave to Jesus to give to John, and he delivered that down by an angel and brought it to John, and then it was to be brought unto you and I. And we covered, in just saying a few words about it, that mankind couldn't understand the book of Revelations until this end time when God would send the prophet to understand. You see writings of the things and all, but see, the book of Revelation was actually written in AD 95 and 96 or thereafter, you know, and so that way the writings of the other books were of the Gospels and then some of Paul's writings earlier than that. So basically everything would have been about finished, and that would have been the last writing, you know, the finishing up of the apostles and things of their thoughts. So then the book of Revelations, I've told you, to me is a very special book. But what made it special is that God gave us the ability to understand it. That's what makes it special to me. All right. And then it would be there in the book of Revelations, would be the bride's book, because it would be speaking about the bride. And I will mention this basically every message, and then you'll see when it fits in what we're talking about, that nowhere in the book of Revelation do you see Jesus by himself. You see him in bride form, or you see him with the bride, like, say, Revelation 19, coming back riding, you know, with him and things. But you never see in the book of Revelation anywhere that it's speaking just of Jesus and him by himself. It's the book to show us the future that would come to pass, and, you know, and we could see those things and have an understanding. You see, then it would be our book for this end time. And very special then to you and I, to where that we can follow that book. But we got down to seeing that the book of Revelation is one of the books that Satan hates. He hates the book of Genesis, and he hates the book of Revelations because it shows his beginning and it shows his ending. All right, we covered that Sunday trying to emphasize a little bit about it. If Satan tries to tell you that you're lost, just tell him there ain't no way in the world he'd ever be saved. You could get a white throne judgment, but he can't get it. There's no white throne judgment for Satan. See, we could go there, you know, and do things, but I don't want to. But, I mean, it's just that way. He's lost out totally. And what I like about it is that even that Satan and the false prophet and the beast and things is cast into the lake of fire before everything else is. So he's going to be annihilated one day, and he hates that. And he tries to discredit the word because he knows that as we were getting down to the end, that if a bride gets a revelation of who she is, all right, and really of the two spirits among the church, and I told you, then you go and you look out across the message thing, and you'll see that there's definitely two spirits at work. Because any spirit that denies that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is Antichrist. And then when you see people off the word that it does not compare with Hebrews 13:8, then you know for surety that's the other spirit. All right? So then the thing of it is, Satan will always attack the word. That's his way. He doesn't care how much you shout and how much anointings you have and how much, you know, the moving of the Spirit among you and the different things. He doesn't care about that. He's right in there with it. He loves that himself. He likes to rejoice and have a good time. But he's against the word being revealed. All right? And that's where I've always said to the people, and you know it, that why is people afraid of the seals, the Daniel 70 weeks, the things, you know, that they won't in any way most of the time even attempt to speak on, let alone anything else, is they'll just pass it off. I remember one church, and some of you were there, you know, that they thought that, well, boy, this brother's going to preach on the seals, and he's going to play the tapes, and he's going to preach on the seals. Well, he did. He played the tapes, and then he just went right on with his regular messages, you know, because I guess it didn't mean anything, but he said, you've heard the seals, you know, and all, but that's fine. That's well and good, but I don't believe that's for you and I. That's all right, maybe for somebody else. That's fine. That's good. Some people likes to eat some odd exotic foods, but I kind of like to taste it and see whether I want it or not, and don't just put it down there all at once and pile my plate up with it. I'll get a little bit and try it, because I'm not the one to be gullible, you know, on all things. All right. But now the two spirits, we ended up by doing that. Brother Brown said one of them was the Holy Spirit. We know that. The other one is the Antichrist. And don't look for the Antichrist in the last days to be like we've always thought, you know. I remember my brother-in-law was talking about that the beast would be a great big animal, you know, and it would just roam, roam, you know, across the earth and deceive everybody, and everybody'd worship it and stuff like that. Well, it's got to be something religious. It can't be just something, you know, a great big monument of some form or some man or some point. It's got to be a spirit that's there to create, to make those people believe those things and express it, you know, in their own doings. But then that way he hates the book of Revelations, because it shows his beginning. And we went through that of the scripture to show you there, where it's the deeds of the Nicolaitans. That was his beginning in this book of Revelations, you know. Now we know he was there, but I mean, just giving a point, that was his beginning of the deeds of the Nicolaitans, to conquer the laity. All right. Now you see that still prevalent among the ministers, you know, that they try to conquer the laity by saying, if you don't believe what I believe, then, you know, do what you want to. You're lost if you leave. And that's the way a lot of people are told, that if they leave the certain churches, they're lost. Well, I've never told anybody that, and the only thing I've ever said to anybody that leaves, if you find any more word anywhere else than what we have here, let me know. I want to go with you. And that's a serious matter, or get those people to come here, you know, to give us understanding to what we can do. All right. But now, remember the point then. The book of Revelations will show the bride. All right? And that's Christ in the church. And we'll read it in a minute that Brother Brown said that Christ in the church was a continuation of the book of Acts. All right? Now, we'll pick up where we read the last quote and get our thought for tonight, you know, of where that we were at. So if you have the number 5 on the board, or some of you that didn't maybe keep yours, we didn't run off any to give you an extra copy tonight, you know. But Sister Julie, you just have to read the ones you took home when you get there. Okay. All right. But we just didn't run anymore, because we just had all of these, and that we'll pick up here. All right. Now let's pick up the thought from where we left off on there on Sunday afternoon and continue there on with it. All right. This is page 16 of the Church Age book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. All right. Now watch. You will recall that I mentioned at the beginning of this message that this book we are studying is the actual revelation of Jesus himself in the church. Now, may I say it the best way that could be possible? And I hope you understand this, especially of people out there, because you haven't heard me speak in the way I do speak. I don't believe the book of Revelations, now listen, added any great understanding of the Godhead. Now listen to what I'm saying now, very careful. I believe Paul and him covered the Godhead and the basis of where it was to be and the things, and that's why Brother Branham would go back and read those things to reference from there and speak on that, and, you know, he would do that. Now, what I mean is, all right, you know what I mean by the point? That what the book of Revelation does is show you where Christ is. All right? Not as much as showing you a deeper revelation, except for the point of where he's at. I think that's the depth of the book of Revelations. And I think that's the greatest thing that could ever be thought of. That would be the capstone revelation of the entire Bible, would to be and to see that God would finally, in finality, reveal himself in his church. All right? And that you would see the church, the bride, not the world church now, the bride. All right? You would see it in bride form, and that would be the capstone of the entire Bible. All right? And it would be that even Paul and them, understanding the Godhead. See, look at Paul to come in to say that he was the immortal, eternal, almighty God. And being who he was, he would know the correct understanding of the Hebrew terminologies and logos, theophany, whatever words would come down. He would know that. All right? And see, Brother Branham come and stood up on what he said. But to me, the book of Revelations, you'll see this now when you get into Revelations 5, that the seals is to revealing Christ in the church. That's where people are looking for the wrong way, see. Christ in his bride upon the earth. All right. Now, that even Paul would speak of, but not be able to comprehend. And I don't mean that wrongly, because you know what I'm saying. But we look for this message to bring us some kind of an understanding that was not in the Bible. Right? We look for some supernatural revelation that would not be in the book. And then we try to make it to seventh seal mystery. You know. And make it something that nobody had no ideas. Well, I don't agree with that. Never have. Never taught it that way and don't agree with it. I believe it's more showing where he's at and what's taking place than it is to trying to bring us some great revelation. They said to Brother Branham, said, with your ability, you could write a 23rd chapter, you know, Revelation. He said, see, they were trying to trap me. He said, but you can't add to the word. So the book of Revelations would not be adding to the writing of the other apostles. That would be a mysterious, hidden secret, coded something, until you come in the end time and the prophet would tell us these things. It would be what it's already spoken about. Well, now, if that's misunderstood, I didn't mean to speak that way about it, but that's a little premature to what I want to speak about 6 months down the road. All right. But I want you to think about it. So look what he's saying now. It's the revelation, the actual revelation of Jesus himself in the church. Right. Now, and his work in the future ages, Now watch. Then I mentioned that it takes the Holy Spirit to give us revelation, or we'll fail to get it. All right, now. The Bible cannot be understood except the Holy Spirit be there to reveal, right? No man can call Jesus Christ except it be by the Holy Ghost. All right. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay. Now, so then it's not a book. It's not something added. That's a secret coded. It's the actual showing where he's at and what's taking place. All right. I hope you're following the point now on that. If not, write down a thought on it and we'll talk about it. See? He said, it takes the Holy Spirit to give us revelation, or we'll fail to get it. All right? Now, bringing these two thoughts together, you'll see that it won't take just ordinary study and thinking to make this book real. It is going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. That means this book can be revealed. This book can't be revealed to anyone but a special class of people. Now, that's what I'm talking about tonight. A special class of people. Now, the titles will be for, until we get there, it'll be a study on the book of Revelations, but then we'll give you secondary titles, all right? Now, watch what he says. It can't be revealed to anyone but a special class of people. All right? It will take one with prophetic insight. Now, immediately when you're reading that, your mind pulls into the point of, yes, the prophet came. He's got the prophetic insight. Thank God. That's what I've just said. It couldn't be understood had God not sent us a prophet. There was no way to understand the book of Revelations had God not sent a prophet unto us. And we're definitely not looking for another one to come, nor thinking that we're something. We're telling you what the prophet said. Of course, everybody that's got a doctrine says they're saying what the prophet says. Well, all right, one day that'll be decided, right? And that'll be finished, so we don't have no problems, you know. We just walk on down the road believing what we believe. All right? Let the Holy Spirit reveal it. See, a special class of people, it'll take one with prophetic insight. Yeah, but we're not prophets, Brother Dale. No, but we're in a prophetic age. Like I said Sunday, why is the eagles over everybody's door? Why is this called like an eagle age? When even the world testifies. Because it's a prophetic age. Now, so you got your four combat beasts. We'll get back to later in what? The lion, the ox, the man, the eagle. All right, everybody then wants to say the lion was the word down in the early church ages through all the people. The ox was the spirit of God among all the peoples. The man was the spirit of God among all the people. But then when you say eagle, in Brother Branham only. Like the brother said, if you say you believe that Mark 16 is to be made manifest, you're in bad shape. He said, because that's only for Brother Branham and the Lord Jesus. Now, I wouldn't say that if I hadn't heard the man say it. But the point is, how could you make him Hebrews 13:8? See, then you'd see why people are just sitting waiting on a bus to pull up. Or they're sitting waiting on Brother Branham to come back, driving the bus, you know, to pick us up. Instead of believing and getting ready, because how would you know what bus to get on? Because you better believe Satan's going to drive a bus up if that's what you think. But if you don't know what the prophet has taught, how are you going to know what he would teach if he did come back? That's where I've always been that way. I'm looking for him to prophet to raise one day. And he can preach to us for 30, 40 days. I've said that to you over and over. But somebody's got to get him out of the grave. So that's our job, to get into the faith. Well, it sure don't look like it. Well, that's exactly the way it is. You can't see it without the Holy Spirit. That's my whole point of tonight, that you cannot, I cannot, we cannot comprehend the Bible without the Holy Spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit to interpret that word unto us. You say, Brother Branham interpreted. Well, why is there so much problems with it? Come on. I'm as open as can be about what I say. Why is there so many different versions and splits among the people of the message if it was solely Brother Branham was to tell us what it is? I mean, we got the books, we got the tapes. What's the problem? You know, see, but the problem is that people who say that don't mean what they're saying. But see, this is the age of the eagle age. This is the prophetic age. Where do we get to it in a minute where the prophet said, the Holy Ghost came on Azusa Street in a great prophet. Now, he called the Holy Spirit on the day of Azusa Street, 1906, the great prophet. Then the messenger was to come after then. See, that's the basis of what I want you to see tonight. See, if you don't believe the Holy Spirit is here like it was on the day of Pentecost, then how can you understand the book of Revelations? Because you can't even understand the book of Acts without the Holy Spirit. Come on. You can't understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John without the Holy Spirit. They're still arguing over whether where Jesus said the kingdom was within. They're still arguing whether it was in him or in the people or somewhere sitting out there. They can't get all that figured out. They're still arguing over it. But see, church, it's going to take a special people. We were chosen for this job. I like that, where he saved the best for last. You know? Out of 13 kids, I was the last one. Daddy, save the best for last. All right. But you see, church, why can't we believe it? Well, we don't want to get too exalted in ourselves. Don't you worry about getting exalted. That's what a brother's told me one time. I had corrected this brother, and he said, you better be careful about correcting that brother. I said, why? Why be careful about correcting him if he's wrong? Well, you know how it is. You could get all them demons and all them spirits and things that bother you. I said, don't worry about it. There's plenty of them around. There's plenty of them bothering me now. I ain't worried about the rest of them. But think about it now. A special class. Pull it back up, brother. I don't never know who's back there, so now I'm going to start saying brother. One of the sisters go back there, I'll get in problems then. Because I can't never remember who's doing it. Thank God for all these brothers. I do. Thank God for them. You out there on the internet system, if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't have it. I was going to announce something. I forgot it. Okay. We're going to start, as of Sunday, playing about 8 to 10 minutes of music without singing now. Now, the singing will start right on 10 o'clock. Ever who's going by the clock or whatever, it'll start at 2 o'clock, it'll start at 7 o'clock. Singing. No singing, we're just going to play and do that. Now, if you get happy in the Lord and worship, that's fine. All right. But, see, the one reason is, and I asked Brother Joe to make sure. See, I had watched Brother Pinkston's, we did the other night, to see if the brother that was preaching our Saturday. And, you know, they started about 15, 20 minutes early. And just play. And that was fine. That was good. People coming in and all like that. But my point was, as I'd forgotten, I'd asked Brother Joe, I said, when do you start putting this on internet, you know, to go on live streaming, or ever how you say that? I can't never get it streaming or screaming. Most of the time I'm screaming and they're streaming, I guess. But sounds the same to me. But anyhow, I asked him, he said, well, we put the... But it's 9:45 they start. As quick as that video camera is set up, it is on the internet. So that gives people an opportunity, and that's what I was doing. See, I didn't know exactly how to get all this. Brother Joe and them had set it up to where I could get the things, but I'm sorry, I'm a dummy. So I called Brother Ray to make sure to find out. And the reason I wanted to start early, I'm just saying it, I figured it'd take me 15 minutes to get the thing on. You know, I'd have to call him and say, I do this. He said, yeah, do this. No, you done that wrong. You know, all right. So I wanted to know, and see, Brother Joe puts it on 15 minutes early. Every when that camera goes up, it comes on 15 minutes early, and that way people connecting on has a 15-minute gap period that they can connect. So we're going to have the playing 10 minutes early and then start the singing right on the period of time. You know, not sitting now, and you musicians and things, don't start singing with it unless the congregation starts singing. Now, if the congregation, and I don't mean one person, I mean the congregation starts joining in, that's fine. We all join in together. That's okay. But, you know, just having the live music is what I'm wanting to do. And also, while I'm at it, there is some announcement here from Catch the Vision about the camps and a testimony of a boy in here that was converted in a camp meeting and things. And if you want these, make sure you get them after service. Okay, we get back to where we were. Thank you. Huh? Now watch what it says. It will take one with prophetic insight. Now, a special class of people with prophetic insight. People that have the ability to receive. Now you say, well, what makes us any different than anybody else? It don't make us any difference. We'll get to that. It's been the Holy Ghost in every church age. It's always been the Holy Spirit. If it's not, where's Hebrews 13:8 come in at? See, you would mess up with that one scripture. It's always been the Holy Spirit in every church age. Everybody had a new birth, had the Holy Spirit, because that is the new birth. All right? See, then in doing that, then it ends in the end time with a special people to when they receive the Holy Spirit and have the message. See? To be able to get into the Word. No one ever had the message. Brother Joe had a good point the other day. You notice it says in the voice of the seventh angel, you know, when he begins to sound. And see, there's never been an age that they had a voice of their messenger. Now, they may have had a little something because there was old systems back there to maybe, but I'm talking about even the great Billy Graham, you don't have all of the messages he ever preached. See? So it's something that God has captivated and made it into a voice. A voice to where we can hear it. See, like those people said, you know, on the TV thing about the Brother Branham and everything there from Indiana, you know. And they said, well, you know, they still play them same old tapes over and over. Well, I thought Brother Joseph done a good job in his answer back to him. We haven't heard any more from it. I don't know. But Brother Joseph said, well, we still read that same old Bible over and over and over. I thought that's a good point, you know. That was good. See, but that won't go on in, won't go in our ways. They'll cut off all they will, you know, to do it. But all right, watch now. So maybe I preached enough to get you settled down to listen to what I'm talking about. From one with prophetic insight. I believe the bride has to have prophetic insight. I believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost that comes into the bride of Christ, because this is the only age that we could reach the full maturity of adoption. All right, you can come up and down through these ages and the things, and the apostles had it right here, but they didn't have the headstone. Now, that's what your prophet said. All right? He said the headstone hadn't come yet. All right, so then the headstone. But what is the headstone? I believe Jesus Christ was the headstone, don't you? I believe the headstone was riding on a white donkey going into Jerusalem. Right? But who understood that's what it was? Who understood that was the fulfilling of all the Bible? One man walking, you know, riding on a donkey, fulfilling the Bible. But who could understand and comprehend and believe that a bride of Christ on the earth in the end time, standing with the prophet's message, believing it, not trying to interpret it or anything, but believing it and accepting what's said, to come to find out to realize who she is. I believe the headstone's got to be in the bride in the end time. Huh? See, we got a long ways to go to get there to where I'm wanting to talk about it. But see, we are even going to be the anointing, according to the prophet, that we will be the anointing to the temple that goes into the millennium. You and I, the bride, will be the anointing. But now that'll be all the bride. That won't be just the end time bride. It'll be all the bride, because it's the Holy Spirit. It's always been the Holy Spirit. See? All right, so then what is it now? It will require the ability to hear from God. Okay, we got the prophet's message. The Holy Spirit to teach us the message. Teachers in the body of Christ, fivefold ministry, to bring her to the perfection. So we have all that is needing. That's why it's a special class of people. No one else has ever had it like this. See? All right, and the tapes, the books, to compare it. Like Brother Moat and them used to say, that they'd hear Brother Branham, he'd say, Brother Moat would reference to it one time, he said, they heard Brother Branham talk about it, said, look at Adam and Eve walking out of the garden. Well, you know what? They thought Adam and Eve was lost until they got to the next message that Brother Branham brought, which might have been months before they got the next tape. You know. But when they got the tape, they said, see there, Adam and Eve going out of the garden, but said they had an atonement. They wasn't lost. Well, see? Well, we have it all. We're just running the computer. You want to know what the prophet said? Just type it in. Then they said, I'll start reading. All right? Listen. The ability to hear from God, it will require supernatural instruction. That's something, isn't it? Supernatural instruction. You don't believe the Holy Spirit's supernatural? Come on, it's the only thing that is supernatural. Because it's Almighty God. Huh? Listen. Supernatural instruction. What's not just a student comparing verse with verse. Though that is good. But a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit or it never becomes clear. How we need to hear from God and lay ourselves open and become yielded to the Spirit to hear and know. All right. Now, special class of people. But nobody can't take your place. Paul had his place. Irenaeus, Martin, Columbo, those people down through there had their places. Brother Branham never tried to take F.F. Bosworth's place. He always gave him honor and glory. Called him the old shade tree. The one man there, you know, got converted under and said, go sit under the old shade tree there on divine healing. He said, the man knows more about divine healing than anybody that he, in some way, something powerful close to it, anybody that he knowed of was F.F. Bosworth. Brother Brown never tried to take his place. He didn't try to take Billy Graham or Oral Roberts' place. He didn't go after the multi-million-dollar buildings and schools and things to put them in there and pop out preachers to deliver this message. That's what Oral Roberts done, right? Send them to school. All right. But you see, he settled down with one thing, the Word. All right. And when he did, he comes out with that one thing, the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will always come to the Word. Okay. All right, now as we start our point, this is what we're talking about. I believe the Holy Spirit has been the Spirit that gave birth to every individual in any church age whatsoever. My wife always said years ago, it is not the Spirit of God that was eaten down. Show me that anywhere in the prophet's message or in the Bible. Now that's an open challenge to the world. Come. All right. I'll admit it and go with Brother Branham. He said it's been trampled on. Sure has. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. But there's nowhere where the Holy Spirit was ever taken away. The Word was what was eat down. And then had to be restored and brought back. It wasn't the Holy Spirit that had to be restored. It was the Holy Spirit that revealed to Martin Luther that the just shall live by faith. See, the Holy Spirit has been there in every age. So now let's just pick up a few and watch. What is the Holy Spirit? Well, Brother Dale, who is the prophet? Let me answer that. People would say, William Marion Branham. Right? But who's the prophet? Simple question. For him to be Hebrews 13:8. Now who's the prophet? So go ahead and pull up the next one, brother, and watch. This is off the Message 65:725, the anointed ones, the end time, paragraph 98-99, so on paragraph 100. The Holy Spirit is the prophet of this hour. Now who's the prophet of the hour? He of vindicating his word, proving it. The Holy Spirit was the prophet of Moses' hour. The Holy Spirit was the prophet of Micah's hour. The Holy Spirit, which wrote the word, comes and confirms the word. All right. Now, who is the prophet that was to be looked for in the end time? I told you about it years ago, and I'm not throwing off on the brother. That's fine. That's what everybody believes. But Brother Mode had brought this brother over to my house, and we were sitting out on the front porch, and we started talking, and Brother Mode said to the brother, said, just tell Brother Dale what you believe. And the brother said, yeah. I said, I believe that Malachi 4 is coming. Okay, what else do you believe? He said, what I believe is that John the Baptist, brought John the Baptist into it. That he was Malachi 4. I said, well, who was Malachi 3? And he was all confused. And what I found out that he finally believed, and he maybe even hear this tonight. Sometimes he connects on, evidently, because they showed up in a Bible study we was having one time, and the only way he could have known it was it announced. But anyhow, he said, well, don't you believe Brother Branham? No, let me get it right. What he said. He said Brother Branham was Malachi 3. Let me get that right. Malachi 3. He said he was Malachi 3. I said, well, I thought that was John the Baptist. You know, and then Brother Branham would be Malachi 4. He said, no. Said Brother Branham was Malachi 3. I said, in other words, you're saying there's somebody else to come. He said, yes. Well, see, I didn't know it, but it was told later. He finally asked, he believes he was that one to come. You know, well, that's what I told him. I said, I'll just tell you to your face. See, I didn't know it was what he believed, but I said, if you think you're Malachi 4, I'll just tell you, you ain't him. I said, even if Brother Branham would have been Malachi 3, the one Brother Branham was looking to come was the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, what about the great one? I said, that is the great one, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Brother Branham pointed to a great one to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he told you about Malachi 4 and where it was at in his ministry. John the Baptist was Malachi 3. Well, of course, it didn't change his mind. It ain't going to change yours or anybody else listening out there of what they believe. It's not going to change what I say, but there's one thing about it. There will be a day that these things will face awful of us. All right. Now, who is the prophet of this hour? The Holy Spirit. All right. Now remember in Revelations 19:10, go ahead, brother, I think he's got it on there, because we had these on him, if you'll just follow it down. Revelations 19:10, and says, I fell at his feet to worship and said unto him, see, thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus Christ, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Now that's Revelations 19:10. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. All right. So then who are we looking for to come and take over? The Holy Spirit. Not another messenger. Not another person to come along, you know, with an anointing of Elijah or something. The next Elijah that is to come, according to my understanding, will be one of the two witnesses to Israel. All right? So that'll be number five to finish it all up. But the thing of what I want you to see tonight is one thing for certain. Now, this is my whole point. Now, you can differ with me, whatever you want to do, believe or not believe. But if we do not have the new birth, as it was on the day of Pentecost, then we don't have the new birth. All right? Simple. We don't have it. We don't have it. They don't need interpreting. You know, I liked it Sunday. A sister was here visiting. Went outside, and I tried to get her to write it down in blood, but she tried to get her husband to prick his finger, and he wouldn't do it. But she said, Brother Dale, said, that was the most simple thing. She said, I can understand you. I said, would you mind writing that down where I can read it? Everybody says I'm some kind of an intellectual. He said, well, it wasn't. Said, I understood what you were talking about. I thought, okay, that's good. You know, all right. But listen. God is the prophet. Even Jesus himself, in the line of what he was doing, he was born Lord to Christ, the Messiah. Now, he couldn't go and die for you right there, right? 2-3 years old? No way. All right. He had to wait to a place to enter a ministry and to bring forth the things and the River Jordan, etc., and all of that. All right. Now, within him being born Lord to Christ, he could have prophesied at 2 or 3 years of age. Might have seen visions at 2 or 3 years of age, but Brother Branham did. But he didn't enter a prophetic ministry form or style until the River Jordan, right? So then there was where he literally came into being as the Son of Man, the prophet. If you'd ask Jesus, are you the prophet? He'd say, God is the prophet. I am a prophet. I'm a man that God is using. Brother Branham was not the prophet. He was a prophet. He was a man that God was using to bring us the word. If you make him the prophet, he would be God. So then you see how close you're going. Because I know all the quotes. I can quote with you. Anybody out there, come on. I know Brother Branham would say about Moses that he was God to the people. But you better quote that correctly. He said, well, he's delivering his message. But said, when he stepped back, he was Moses. So you better keep it straight. I believe, Brother Branham, when he was speaking, I believe that was Almighty God's voicing through a man when he said, on marriage and divorce, go home as you are. And everything. I believe that was the voice of God, right? But that wasn't Brother Branham. He couldn't say that until the Holy Spirit said to say it. Right, the prophet of the day is the Holy Spirit. All right. Now let's get this in the right order. So go ahead and pull up number 7 on the notes, brother. This is taken from Questions and Answers on the Seals, 1963:324. I love this quote because it ties together the entire Bible and thinking. You see, each one of those ages only took a dip into the Holy Spirit. Justification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit, but the baptism is the Holy Spirit. Now watch it. That's the reason it took a prophetic prophet to come down. Now see, everybody reads that and says, that's Brother Branham. You better read on. Because listen. That's the reason it took a prophetic prophet to come down. No messenger to the age. What is he talking about? Azusa Street, right? Because the Holy Ghost came himself in his fullness of the baptism. That was on Azusa Street. But at the end of the age, and it always ends up on the others, we find there then the messenger sent. There's Brother Branham. Right? And these scruples and things was in a rapture come for the church. All right? no messenger of the age, because the Holy Ghost came himself. Now, the one-eyed black man, Seymour, is that his name? Daddy Seymour, Seymour. All right. Now, even Brother Brown said he was the messenger to the Lady of Sin Age. Now, he called him that. If you want that quote, I'll be glad to find it. But he said, really, was no messenger. That's what he's explaining. There was no messenger on Azusa Street. You said, well, that was just gifts, Brother Dale. That was the Holy Spirit. Come on. Well, it got all scruple. That's not the Holy Spirit's problem that got all scruple. That wasn't him that made it scrupled. Come on, it was the people. The Holy Spirit never brought the scruples. The Holy Spirit hadn't brought all the scruples around this message. But yet everybody says the Holy Spirit or God told them this. Great revelation I got, you know. Well, if it won't compare with the rest of the Word, what is it supposed to be? If it won't say Hebrews 13:8, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then it cannot be of the Spirit of God. It must be that Antichrist spirit we were talking about a while ago. Well, are you saying these people? No, I'm saying the spirit that's motivating them. That's guiding people. I'm not against people. It's the spirit that's guiding them. But look what he says now on this. That's the reason it took a prophetic prophet to come down. No messenger to the age, because the Holy Ghost came himself in his fullness of the baptism. Right? He's talking about what? Azusa Street. Go right back up, read it. But the baptism is the Holy Spirit. You got justification, you got sanctification, and then you got Azusa Street baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. If you'd read sometimes about Azusa Street, I've tried to tell you, many people don't even think about it. That was Azusa Street was Trinitarians. That was not the oneness doctrine. The oneness doctrine started about 1912, somewhere in there. And as it started, they started throwing rotten tomatoes at them. The ones who claimed to be Azusa Street originals. Why? Because they didn't believe. They were Trinitarians. So if the Holy Spirit could fall on Trinitarians and give them the new birth, you say you can't do it. I wish you hadn't said that. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but I'll ask how many here has the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And 90% of you got it before you come to the Word or the message. So you better back off of your statements. See? All right. But you see, Luther's justification was a work of the Holy Spirit. That was the new birth of their age. Brother Branham even calls Wesley's sanctification the new birth of sanctification. Then the baptism of the Holy Ghost came on Azusa Street. All right. He said, come in his fullness. You argue the point of what? You know, you say, well, that's what the messenger. Well, then, I don't want that part. Well, that's what I said the other day about marriage and divorce. You want marriage and divorce, the grace. And you'll gladly hold on to that with all you can stand because you needed it. But then when it comes to the rest of the message, well, I don't believe that. Well, I wouldn't believe the marriage and divorce then. Because if it's Antichrist, what he taught in one place, come on. If he didn't teach it correctly, and it would be Antichrist, it would be Antichrist in the marriage and divorce grace, right? Come on, that's sensible. But you see, that's where people are. Well, now, I've preached this to you before, so it's not a new thing, not a new doctrine, idea, that the baptism of the Holy Ghost that came on Azusa Street, the prophet of God said, I met people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was preaching way before he come on the scene. He said, with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just like on the day of Pentecost. And you see where the trouble is at, is what I've always tried to explain to you. If you take the upper room experience of the 120 and say Azusa Street was a restoration of the upper room experience of the 120, that had the faith of the fathers, you got a problem. I'll agree with you there. That's not correct. But you see, on the day of Pentecost, there was two things happened. The upper room fell on 120 that had been tutored for 3.5 years. That's why they could teach us to become into their ways of doing. That's why a novice was not chosen to write the word. You know, a baby, a beginner. Right. But then the scripture says that when you and I receive the Holy Spirit, it's an earnest. Right. So then the 3,000 outside. 120 had been tutored for 3.5 years. But the 3,000 outside had only heard one sermon, basically. And they got born again. There's your Holy Spirit in a new birth. There's why a prophet could say Azusa Street was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have it just like the book of Acts. Huh? Because that's where it's written about. Of the Holy Spirit coming. In the book of Acts. You say, oh, that's just your idea. I've been through that. Don't worry about it. It don't offend me for you to think that. I had a great, great brother friend of mine, at least I thought he was, but that's what he told me one day. He said, you ain't nothing but a Baptist. You'd have to have been there to know what I'm talking about. He said, you just figured it out intellectually. In other words, you can calculate upper room and that's down here, and then you can make a discourse to explain the difference in the two. Well, you go ahead and do what you want to do with it. Well, let's hear your definition. That's open to the public. Let's hear your definition. I ain't going to argue with you about it. Send me a note. But listen, church. Either the prophet's right or something's messed up somewhere. Right. Now, then let's read a few quotes that Brother Branham says about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right. And I want you to notice we'll be going early ministry, later ministry, early ministry, later ministry, so that you won't come up with the idea that he changed his mind after the opening of the seals. Because remember, on the opening of the on the future home, he said, I've taught three processes from the beginning as a boy. All right. Solves the problem. Case ended. Go ahead to the next. Go ahead to number 8. It's taken 1954, 8, 14, the unconditional covenant that God made with the people. E44. What a beautiful picture of God making his covenant with the church. When Jesus Christ went to Calvary, who was God Emmanuel, God ripped him apart at Calvary, tore the whole covenant in two, took the body up to his right hand, and sent the Holy Ghost back on the church. And the same Spirit was on Jesus Christ, is in the church today, and the same Holy Ghost that was back there has to be the same Holy Ghost when we come together, making Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And today we have the same baptism that they had on Pentecost when our part of the covenant was thrown back. Do you believe it? He said, we have the same baptism. What? Well, now, ever how you want to take what I said about trying to help you understand the existence or whatever took place on the day of Pentecost, you can't deny the quote. And it's no good to say, well, I don't know. There's no excuse for that. Not in this day. All right? Now watch these as we go along. Look at number 9A. This was an added one to our today. In the Church Age book, there is a section that's when it starts in the Smyrna Church Age, somewhere about page 138, 39 or something. It says the Holy Spirit in every age. Right. Then it starts talking about it. So watch what he says. This is page 143, the Smyrna Church Age, which is Church Age book. All right. In every age, and every age is the age of the Holy Ghost for the true believer. All right. Every age is the age of the Holy Ghost for the true believer. Okay. So is the Holy Ghost in every age. All right. Now, I didn't give them this one to give to you, but on the Tyrian Church age, 1960, 1208, paragraph 73, Brother Branham says, in other words, I've been studying it. He's went through and he's talking about Methodist, Baptist, and all like that. He says, I've been days and days now, those histories, digging them into all I can find everywhere. And it's the flame of Pentecost that stayed alive from Pentecost down to this time. Yes, sir. Been pushed out. It was the Holy Spirit in every age. All right? So that's what he's saying here. Now, he goes into the evidence then. Those who had the Spirit, the teacher, heard the word, and that Spirit in them took the word and taught it, revealed it to them, and they were the group that heard the message of his age and took it and lived it. Now, if you'll go on reading through there, you'll see that he's telling you what? That group, that Holy Spirit is the teacher, that is the same evidence in every church age. Every church age has got the same evidence. What? Whether or not the Spirit in you agrees with the Word. The teacher inside of you teaching you the Word. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. All right? Now keep that in mind. So, all right? Go on to number 9 now, which is Acts of the Holy Spirit, 1954, 1219, paragraph 66. The same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost is the same Holy Ghost of today. I'll admit it's been tramped on, made fun of, misinterpreted, misrepresented, and everything else like that. That's only the devil counterfeiting. Now listen to him. But there is a real, genuine baptism of the Holy Spirit that brings the same results that they had on the day of Pentecost. That's right. And you say, well, where's your signs and wonders? People, that's what they'll say. Where's your signs and wonders? Well, come up to this church. I invite you here. You want to see where signs and wonders has been here or not? And let's just let a few of these people that's sitting here talk to you. Not about little things that are, I've heard people years ago call the third pool because somebody come along and paid their taxes. Well, I'm just as honest as I've ever been. You go out here and go walking down through the city of Gainesville, and you stay up there long enough, and you'll find somebody that you can talk into paying your taxes. Because you'll reach some heart that'll pay them for you. Is that the third pool? No, that's a sorry, lazy bum. It won't work. Problem solved. You're going to call those things. I'm not talking about those kind of things. I'm talking about sick, healed, dead, raised. Storms spoken out of existence. Rain call far and come. I didn't talk about my own ministry or myself. You don't come around and tell me that the days of miracles is pious. I got a quote in here in a minute. If I have time, I want to read it. But you see, it's the Holy Spirit. He said, it's been trampled on, right, because people's misunderstood it. They misinterpreted it. You know, they misrepresented it. They've done all kind of things with it. Right. Zeus's tree, yes, was a great example, but the Holy Ghost that fell was the Holy Ghost. It was genuine. It was real. They were the ones that made it speaking in tongues. They were the ones that made it those things. But I've got a book at home that Wade is his. If you want to read some, these are testimonies of people. If you want to read it, not supposed to be something of any, but testimonies of people that said, didn't say that it was said, don't lay it all just on speaking in tongues. Daddy Seymour said that. He said, don't put it just on speaking in tongues. He said, this is Jesus Christ. They were sure. There was fanaticism went with all of it. Why? Because it wasn't there. Come on. One more time. I love it like this. What kind of fanaticism was you in? before you heard the truth. Don't make light of nobody. Whether you want to call that hateful or arrogant or whatever, you might ought to call it the Holy Spirit. Don't make fun of nobody in their beliefs. Because remember, we had them. See? I don't like you, Brother Dale. I praise of God. I don't like me either. But the truth is the truth. It's time to stand on that. Brother Brown said, I'll be glad when it comes a time they'll say, you ain't saying what Paul said. Well, why not? Come on, what's number 9? All right. Acts of the Holy Spirit, paragraph 66. Did I read that one? Have I done read that one? I'm down on it. I've done read that. Okay, go up to the next. Okay, this is the message of the lady seeing Church 8, 1958, 609. Paragraph E43. We've had enough light to join church, build an organization to find churches. We've had that for 2,000 years. But God promised in the evening time it would be light. And what is it? The same light that fell on the Orient. The same Holy Ghost that fell at Pentecost, bringing the same results, is falling on the Western people today, bringing the same results it brought back there. It'll be light. That was what I was trying my best to express there Sunday. I know you don't understand me. I kept repeating over and over and over and over what Brother Branham was talking about Sunday morning, where no divine healing, no resurrection. No divine healing, no resurrection. In the time of the greatest worldwide revival, that the man could stand and guarantee you healing for 24 cases. And he was the one saying it. No divine healing, no resurrection. Oh, he just throwing off on everybody else. Your business. I'm just saying, it was in those years that he was saying those things. When he's saying the same Holy Ghost, was it just in his ministry? You know that he prayed for a man's nose to be restored, and it was 2 or 3 days before it was restored, and he told, I don't know where it was, Brother Bosworth. I believe it's right. I'm getting a head shaking out of it. It's Brother Bosworth. Prayed for one and it was immediately. Who was it, Smith Wigglesworth, that Wade was talking about the other day, that seen 11, 12, or 13 people raised from the dead? One man had already been embalmed. One man had no legs and no feet. And Smith, I read that in the history, and I knew when he was saying that. I read it in his own books. I got it at the house. He told a man to go down and buy him a pair of shoes. The man didn't believe it that much. He just took him down there. Told him, give him a pair of shoes. He didn't even have no feet. But when they set the shoes down, the foot came down. Brother Moat said he was sitting when, I may miss it, I believe it was A.A. Allen. I don't know about that, but I know Brother Moat told me that he was sitting in this minister, a Pentecostal minister, and this man's leg was one shorter than the other. Well, you know, you can do that and fake it. I mean, okay. Brother Moat said, when he said, bow your head, he said, I didn't bow mine, I wanted to see. He said, I sat there and looked, and he said, that leg growed out just as straight as the other one. Those things were real, church. Those people believed God. And great healings and signs and wonders took place. Get with Dick, Brother Dick there, and talk about the Methodists going over in the jungles over there and the people being raised from the dead. But you see, we don't want to believe. Right. We don't believe it's the same Holy Spirit. Go to the next one. This would be the rejected king. 1960, 610, paragraph 55. And the same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost, which we all know that was the birth of the new church. If that same Holy Spirit don't bring the same experience to you, then you've got a different Holy Spirit than what that was. That's as blunt as can be, right? Exactly right. If it don't make you live a sacrificial life and a life full of joy and pleasure, and the baptism of the Spirit leading you into signs and wonders and miracles and things, there's something happened. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them. Same Holy Spirit, go to the next one. Which is, believest thou this? 1951:15, E51. How beautiful it is. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell down from heaven, our manna, after we've come through the blood, and we've been saved, been cleansed from our sins, and the Holy Ghost fell. Brother Peter said on the day of Pentecost, it is for you and for your children and for them that's far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And every person that enters into this baptism of the Holy Spirit can have the same kind of Holy Ghost that they got on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah, I believe it's God's truth. Okay, go to the next. This is questions and answers on Genesis. Watch these two now. Watch these two quotes real close. Questions and answers, 1953:729. Okay. He said, you will lay hands and ask God to bless us and give us the Holy Ghost. Okay. Now, he believed, he's talking about it. You can read the whole thing about it. This is about, look what happened. And I said, I will. And we knelt down on the floor and I prayed and laid hands on them. Now, watch. That Holy Ghost didn't come immediately. Read it. And about a few weeks after that, both of them received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when this Dr. Reedhead received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, come through speaking in other tongues. Yes, sir. But them two men didn't receive the Holy Ghost immediately, Brother Brown. He said, in about a few weeks. Everybody thinks you lay hands on it, it's got to be right there immediately. That's where you miss it. Say, it's mine. I've got it. Healing. Holy Ghost, new birth, whatever. Say, it's mine. I've got it. Don't walk away. I didn't get it. I didn't feel nothing. That's right. You didn't get it. Sensible. Sensible. What do you feel or not? Walk away. Say, thank you, God. Thank you. I got it. I'm healed. Thank you. I'm healed. Thank you. I'm saved. A few weeks later, come to you in the middle of the night, maybe. Right? But what? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Look at the next one. But I said, now remember these two. Now that first one was, he's referring to Dr. Reedhead in 1953:729, questions and answers on Genesis. This is 1964:407, Jehovah Jireh, Reel 2, paragraph 75. When Morris Reedhead, a very fine scholar, come to my house, he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, fell across a little coffee table in the house. He said, Brother Branham, he goes on to explain then, he said, what do we got? All right. One backwards and forth in it. Go on to the next. 1963:12-16. We have seen his star in the east and come to worship him. Paragraph 145. For the promises unto you and to your children and to them that's far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call, as many as ever called, the same Holy Ghost tonight is just the same it was then, to the honest heart. If it doesn't, is it too unusual for you to believe God? If it don't come, look at the next. Influence, 1964:215, paragraph 171. That's right here tonight. If God is still calling, that's the prescription. You can still receive the same Holy Ghost that they received there. What? You can receive the same thing tonight. Just follow through. That's all you do. All right. Go to the next. 17. The mighty God unveiled before, 64:629, paragraph 159. And that's right, to bring him back exactly like he was at the beginning. His same ministry, the same Jesus, the same power, the same Holy Ghost, the same one that come down on the day of Pentecost, is the same Holy Ghost that's manifested today from glory to glory, from glory unto glory to glory. And it's back to its original seed with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the same sign, same wonder, same baptism, same kind of people. Right. Act acting the same way, with the same power, the same sensation. It's from glory unto glory. And next we'll be changed from this glory into a body like unto his own glorious body. When we shall see him, Abraham saw the same. All right. I think there's two more. '65, 9:19, a message called Thirst, paragraph 125. We got a living God, not one that died 1,900 years ago and stayed in the grave. Now listen to it. See, some people believe he was fine all right up to a few ages, but then something happened. Well, he's saying this. It is not one that died 1,900 years ago and stayed in the grave, but one that raised again. Hebrews 13:8 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost is the same Holy Ghost that's here now. One more. Now, these are not all that's on these, just some I chose to bring. This drops backward then to show you 59:405. It was not so from the beginning, or E12. And since when someone says that the Word of God does not teach divine healing, now listen, they're saying something that the Word does not say. Okay? Now watch. You amen that one? Now listen to this one. And when they say the Word does not teach the baptism of the Holy Ghost for believers in all ages, they are saying something that the Word does not say. They're substituting something to take its place. All I'm trying to get you to see tonight is one thing. The baptism of the Holy Ghost has been in every age. But it finishes in this age in the basis that it is to be a restoration of the original. And in this age, we are expected to come back to where the apostles were. And everybody that received the new birth, other than the 120 in the upper room, received it as a baby, earnest. Brother Branham received it as a baby, as an earnest. Oh no, he was a prophet. That don't have anything to do with the new birth. Balaam was a prophet and never got it. Never had it, right? Anointed ones at the end time can be anointed on their spirit, right? Not be born again. Great signs and wonders can take place. But listen, if we don't have the new birth like they had in the upper room, I mean in the 3,000, we'll never come to the upper room experience, because that's the adoption. That's adding to your faith virtue. That's what Peter was doing. Peter knew the people that were being birthed under him were babies. That's why Paul spent two whole books, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, correcting little babies. He never said they wasn't born again. But they were babies. He said, desiring the sincere milk of the word, as Peter would say. If you're born again, you're born again as a baby. You're not born again as top of the pyramid. You're born again as a baby. That's where the trouble people don't like for me in the way I preach it. But I say, bless God, when I got it, like I told you, one brother told me one time, said, when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I was adopted, manifested Son of God, right there. I said, I don't agree with you. I didn't get mad at him. Had him come preach for us after then. I didn't get mad at him. Other brother said that we didn't have nothing. Just had an anointing. I didn't get mad at him. I had him come preach for me. It's kind of odd. I ain't never preached in either one of their churches. That's all right. But you see, I still let them come preach. But I thought they were good brothers. But just remember, you're not born again by the new birth. You know, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth, coming into the body of Christ, that don't positionally put you at the headstone just because you're born in this age. Mm-mm. No, it gives you the new birth. the mind of Christ as a baby form, and then we must be taught how to come up the stature of a perfect man and to come out where the apostles were. Then we can talk about the seals, the Daniel 70 weeks, the things that the prophet brought to us, and see that it's not an addition, as I started off talking, to the Bible. It's just an unfolding of the truth that was laying there. That light had never shined on those things in the Word. It wasn't something added. We don't believe in added revelation. Right? But if we don't have the new birth tonight, it's not God's fault, because He's made it known unto us. Yes, but Brother Dale, how am I going to do? Because I've confessed all these years that I was born again. I did too. For 10 years in a Baptist church, and become a deacon at 23 years old. Taught all the Sunday school classes and everything. But when I come in this message, I saw I didn't have the new birth. Well, how did you see it? Because the man that was talking about the life of Christ, the supernatural God, was not talking about an intellectual conception or a thought that we had. Maybe that's why he let me see him when I was about 11 years old, where I'd realize there was something supernatural about God. But I don't claim that to be my new birth. When I come in this message, I said, I don't have the new birth. I got baptized. I got straightened up and all of that. What little bit I had to get rid of, I tried to get rid of it. Still am trying to get rid of it. A lot of things we didn't have to get rid of. We were already controlling our kids in the Baptist church. We left there in 57. We were already controlling what our kids watched on TV. Before we come in this message, tried to walk in the light of the love of God, but I knew I didn't have the new birth, so I sought out. I started seeking for God. Well, people told me, said, "What do you mean? You had to, you was led to the message. It had to be the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost led Judas too. The Holy Ghost gave Judas a ministry." To raise the dead and heal the sick and cast out devils. Make your calling and election sure. Do you have the new birth? The prophet said that's the most important thing in the world. It's whether or not you're born again. What about it, church? Well, I don't really know whether I'm born again or not. Well, don't stop seeking God then. Well, if I didn't confess, I got it. You just said it a while ago. I got to confess it. That's exactly right. Go confess it. But remember, there's a difference in a confession and a possession. Confess it until it becomes a possession. And you don't have to worry about it then. It'll be a reality. What about it? A special class of people. God chose us in the end time to finish up the work that He gave for us to do. Brother Brown said He didn't finish all of what He came to do. He said He left that for the bride. You want that quote? Left that for you and I to finish. We got to conquer, get away from that conquering spirit that's tried to conquer us, you know, conquer the laity. We got to get out from under that. We got to get into the Word and eat that Word until we become the Word. I've never said I had all the answers, but I tell you, I've always said I know where to go get them. What about it? A prophetic people, the prophet said. One with supernatural abilities to understand. What else could you want? I want to see this, and I want to see that. That's good. But you can't see that until you believe it and get born again. Now, I know this is going to be in a very offensive statement, and I'm sorry that I have to make. If I have the Holy Spirit, I cannot deny the Word. Right? If you have the Holy Spirit, out on the internet or anybody that ever hears this or whatever, if you have the Holy Spirit, you cannot deny the Word. It don't make us automatic giants to where we know everything, no. It just makes us the children of God. I love to watch these little kids as they grow up and watch them and knowing that you think they're sound asleep. You think they don't know what in the world's going on. You just say something contrary and watch them correct you and tell you what the truth is. Abby Grace can still tell you the day that Matthew, and she's about 2 years old or somewhere close to three, but Matthew run a red light in where I guess was down in Augusta was somewhere. She'll tell you today that Matthew run that red light because she saw it. But then I've told you, she told her nanny the other day to quit confessing wrong. That was wrong for her to say she wouldn't heal. 5 years old now. These children are a whole lot smarter than you think. And they know a whole lot more than you think they know. Right? If you don't think they don't, you just don't think they know a lot, then the next time that Josiah asks some questions, I'm going to give them to you. All right? I'll let you have them. You'll be responsible for answering them. That if Jesus created Mary, how could Mary be his mother? That was a question he asked, 5 years ago, 4 years ago or something? Been a while back. Good question. And you know that these little children can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost when they reach that age of accountability. And us old adults can deny it and walk off away from it. And they can be the children of God. Think on these things. Come on. Think on these things. A special class of people chosen especially for this end time. God knowing that he would need a group of people that wouldn't fall for all of these things, wouldn't go after all of these doctrines and ideas and opinions, and they would just be simple enough to say, the prophet said it and I believe it. Right? Would be that simple. To do those things. Let's stand together. Anybody has a need?
172.
Anybody has a need? The altar's open. But if you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, remember, you may have a lot of head knowledge, but we need a revelation. In that city, yes, the sun, it will never go down. The flowers are blooming forever, and the sun, it will never go down. Let's just believe, huh?
I feel like traveling on. I do. I feel like traveling. flower forever, and the sun it will never
go down. I feel like shouting, do you? The flower. Anybody else that have a need? Ever. And the sun, it will never go down. The sun
never go down. In that city, the sun, it will never go down. The flowers are blooming forever, and the sun, it will never go down. I feel like traveling on. I do, I feel like traveling on. The flowers. Never go down. I feel like shouting sometimes. I do, I feel like shouting, I do. The flowers are blooming forever, and the sun it will never.
Amen. Anybody else?
I do, I feel like shouting, I do. The flowers are blooming forever, and the sun, it will never go down. I feel like traveling on, I do. Like traveling on. The flowers are blooming forever, and the sun, it will never go down. Sun, it will never go down. In that city, the sun, it will never go down. The flowers are blooming forever, and the sun, it will never go down. I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on.
Anybody else? You
I do. I
feel like traveling on. The flowers are.
And the sun, it will never go down. I feel like shouting sometimes. I do, I feel like shouting.
You have a need, come and let's see. Just remember what I've tried to say. If we don't have the new birth, we can't understand God. Right. And if it's not the same Holy Spirit that was original from the day of Pentecost, then what would it be? It wasn't the Holy Spirit that was eaten away. It was the Word that went down, because you killed off all of the believers and you took away the things and started up with the Nicolaitan doctrines and drove out the original until they finally just took the Bible away from the people. Yeah. But still there was people that received the new birth and gave their lives for what they believed. Martin Luther says, I can't recant for what I've wrote, what I've said. But because it would be denying what I am. He threatened excommunication, threatened with killings and everything, but he still couldn't change. And to them, see, excommunication from the Catholic Church meant that he was lost, could never be saved. He was eternally doomed. But yet he put everything he had on that and said, the just shall live by faith. It's a personal revelation, not a group therapy. Personal revelation. Remember the Bible study Saturday? Remember these things that's been announced, and just pray one for another. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we just commit the service into your hands. Be with everybody on the way home. Give everybody a safe journey. And may we all walk together in you, Lord. Bless Wade there tonight as he's still ministering. You just be with him. Let him feel our comfort there as we would even literally, Lord, be standing beside of him, that he would understand that and recognize it. We love you and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.
I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no way.